Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Courtney.
Courtney says, hi Nathan and Ben, I took the July 22 LSAT and got a 140. I was practicing near 158 leading up to the test. Ooh. When I take full-length tests, I get test anxiety and I psych myself out. I'm planning on taking the February 24 LSAT with hope of scoring near the 160s. I'm not the best test taker. If I'm scoring this low, am I a lost cause for law school? Last question, how many practice tests should I be taking leading up to the test? Thank you for your podcast. It provides so much clarity and information. Best, Courtney.
Let's address the first question. Am I a lost cause for law school? No, you can figure this out. A lot of people get test anxiety. And a lot of that just comes from giving the test too much respect. Shift your mindset and start thinking about these practice tests or these official tests as practice tests. I just called an official test a practice test because that's what it is. And look, if you're willing to give up on this, like if you said, am I a lost cause for law school? If you're willing to walk away, then it's even easier to start disrespecting these official tests that you go take because, hey, if it doesn't work out, you're willing to walk away. Not everything has to ride on this. That should hopefully help you reduce a lot of your anxiety, but it's going to take time to shift your mindset, right? Like it's almost like that movie Inception. You have to change this inner deep belief that somehow the test is so important and so different from everything else you've been practicing. It's not. But as long as you keep reminding yourself slowly, that deep belief will hopefully change and then you'll start to see things differently. It can change quickly, but sometimes people need to be reminded. I think that's actually where the podcast comes in. We say it so much, people start to finally like accept it.
Yeah. I see a couple different things going on here. You say you were practicing near 158, but then you say, when I take full length tests, I get test anxiety and psych myself out. Okay, but you didn't psych yourself out when you were practicing around the 158 range. So what's up with that? Are you saying that maybe you're not practicing full tests? If you're not practicing full tests, then maybe there's your answer right there, that you should be practicing full tests so that you can desensitize yourself to it and stop getting so anxious when you're doing a full test. Because I don't get why you would have an 18-point decline from your practice test scores. The other thing that I see going on here is sometimes students like to make an excuse for why they're doing bad that doesn't involve lack of understanding.
Sure.
And I just want to point out that, like, at a 158, Courtney, there's a lot you don't understand about the test. And so I don't want you to put all of your bad performance on test anxiety. I don't think that that's actually it. I think that you might have test anxiety. Don't get me wrong. But even at a 158, there's just so much you're not understanding about the test. Like, you're missing way too many questions at a 158. There's a lot you don't get. There's a lot you're not comprehending. And the way you're actually going to fix that comprehension is one question at a time, not by focusing on 120 to 180 LSAT scores. So the way we improve is we dig deep into every single mistake we're making. And I don't care how many practice tests you do. I care whether you understand your mistakes. So when you do a practice test or a section or an individual question, I really want you to be digging into why you missed that question. What's right about the right answer? What's wrong about the wrong answer? How do you avoid making that mistake next time? And I think that that's where you're really going to build something. Like, if you want to get into the 160s or near the, you say you want to get near the 160s, I think you have to focus way more on just understanding individual questions. You see what I'm getting at, Ben?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I do think we should still somewhat answer this last question. How many practices should I be taking leading up to the test? Because I'm worried that Courtney's going to take too many Like you probably shouldn't be taking more than one per week because you don't need to. You don't need to take practice tests, which is what I think you're trying to say. You can make progress on the test by drilling and doing time sections. And if you happen to take a practice test, fine.
And thoroughly review every mistake you make. Get help if necessary. We got tons of help for you at LSATdemon.com. If you're a Demon student, you should be reading our written explanations. You should be watching our video explanations. You should be using the ask button to access our amazing team of tutors and LSAT writers to ask them for clarification on individual questions. And it's really just one question at a time. That's where the learning comes from. And yeah, you can do a practice section or you can do a full practice test. But when you do, it's not, you're not just done. You know, you don't just like do the test. Oh, I got a 155 this time. Cool. How many tests should I do? You know, like, well, wait a second. You got a 155? Okay, cool. A lot better than the 140 that you have on record. But it also contains like dozens of mistakes that you've made. So let's dig into those dozens of mistakes so that we can get better at the test. If you get better at the content of the test, then hopefully this test anxiety is going to go away. I think that lots of times, Ben, people like to try to write things off as test anxiety. When the actual issue, there's this elephant in the room, which is like, yeah, but you know, you're not really that great at answering these questions.
You don't understand it.
I think you actually just don't understand it. And it, boy, trying to do something when you don't understand it, that makes you anxious. That makes me anxious. The times that I've had like major anxiety attacks in my life, it's because I was like trying to make a presentation and I didn't know what I was talking about.
Yep.
Trying to do a test when you're not very good at the questions and now the clock's ticking and it's like, God damn it, I have to sit here and do 4 35-minute sections in a row of this stuff and the clock's just going to be ticking in my face for 2.5 hours and I don't, like, I'm not good at answering these questions. Well, that's what makes it a problem. If you were good at answering the questions, then it would be like, yeah, clock's ticking, but I know what I'm doing and I'm just going to do this question, get it right. And I'm going to do the next question and get it right. And then the test anxiety just poof goes away because you learn that I'm going to score fine if I just handle my business. My business is one question at a time, getting it right. Like the clock has nothing to do with it. The fact that I like, in, you know, she says that she gets anxiety when she does a full test. Well, why? But what does the fact that you just did a timed section, or the fact that you're, when you get done with this time section, you're going to do another time section, how's that relevant? You're doing a time section right now. And more specifically, you're doing one question within that time section right now. And the fact that it's a full time test has nothing to do with it. Read the question carefully, understand what it says, understand what it's asking, feel good about the answer that you're picking, get it right, and move on to the next one. That's where the improvement's really going to come from.
Great.
Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.